We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
And you thought we were going to talk about Dustin Johnson almost throwing away the Travelers at TPC River Highlands. Woo! Good Monday morning, everybody. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr. Still away. He'll be back on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Trey Wingo here with you. We're also on Sirius XM Channel 80 in your smart speakers. Thank you, New England
Patriots. You're right. There was a lot of, you know, ancillary type sports things going on with the teams getting ready to report, getting closer to July with a lot of sports starting up, a lot of positive COVID tests going on in the different sports. And then the lovely tweet from Adam Schefter, and it all just started falling down.
It sure did. Cam Newton signs a 1-year incentive-laden contract to be the, we believe, the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots.
Think? Look,
they won't say it until probably week one of the regular season.
And there was just one really loud negative scream coming out of New England, or I guess wherever he is right now, and that's Jared Stidham.
Yeah.
Going, no.
That's like Twitter is so great. Someone said, boy, Jared said it must have been terrible on those Zoom calls.
Yes.
There's no workouts. It's not even
at all.
But I mean, let's just, if you can get Cam Newton for a 1-year contract, basically incentive laden, it's the most New England thing ever. It is the most Bill Belichick thing ever, because what this is a potential very high reward, very low risk move.
I was surprised for a bit that Cam didn't have a team, but then you saw, well, no team could really work him out.
Yeah.
Not only did you want to give him a physical, which we've seen players do. There have been players that have signed contracts and have gotten their physicals done, so the contract was done.
Right.
So we knew that could happen. But I thought, okay, he's not signing because nobody can really work him out.
Right.
He put out a couple of videos, but you're not really telling a whole lot of him, you know, dropping back in the pocket and throwing a ball.
Correct.
You know, because you want to see, you know, the foot, the moving around. And even if you worked him out, it's not under the game condition. So it's just kind of getting a look at him, see if there's any kind of giddy up, you know, any hitch in his giddy up at all, or anything with the shoulder throwing the ball. So you couldn't really tell that from the videos, but I always thought there was a number of teams out there where he could go and he could start and he could help a team. And, you know, there was always that thought of, the New England in the background of you know, especially after the Brady thing went down, obviously. But then more and more when nobody wanted, cause I always thought it would be a Charger thing.
I thought
that would be a spot for him. But obviously with Herbert being signed there and, that wasn't going to happen. Jacksonville doesn't really want to make any moves because they're thinking of next year. So you started to wonder, okay, is he going to go in that backup role, kind of like a Jameis Winston did, sign that 1-year deal? But then there it is. You know, there it is when just when you think there's not that market for him, and there wasn't. There wasn't a market for him. There's Bill Belichick saying, okay, 1-year deal, it can go as high as, I believe, $7.5 million. Very incentive-laden. Which is, this is a great move for Cam Newton as well. I mean, obviously he'd love to have a long-term deal and still maybe be playing in Carolina. I don't know. But a 1-year deal, go out there, prove yourself, and then you go ahead and, you know, you'd be 32 years old.
He's 31.
He's 31. And we're seeing quarterback after quarterback play late in their career. Now, he's a little different. He runs a little more and he's taking a little more beating than some of these other guys. But still, you know, he is now here betting on himself to have that 1-year deal to play well and then sign wherever, whether it's to sign and stay in New England or sign somewhere else. But a great signing by Bill Belichick. And, of course, it will always make every other team go, huh.
Yeah, what did we miss out on?
By
the way, it is the most – I mean, one of the most interesting things about what happened last night was it happened on the same day that the Patriots were fined $1.1 million.
We'd forgotten about it for that
third round. They got lost $1.1 million in the third round pick in the 2021 draft for the television crew filming that game between the Bengals
Cincinnati.
And the Browns in Cincinnati.
In December, remember, they were filming the, you know, what's your job or whatever.
Do your job.
Whatever it is. And they were filming, you know, the actual sidelines of the Bengals. Bills, which was illegal, and they played the whole, you know, we had no idea what they were doing that. The football operations side said we had nothing to do with that. I'd forgotten about that, just like we had kind of forgotten about the whole sign-stealing thing and where it was all going in baseball. I had forgotten about this until I saw it basically right around the Cam Newton sign and going, oh, okay, that's right, they did that. So
what a coincidence.
1.1 million, nobody ever likes to lose 1.1 million. And then they lose the third-round draft pick, yeah. Right?
Yep.
But get this. If Cam Newton plays this year and then signs somewhere else as a free agent, the Patriots will get back a third-round draft pick. Amazing how they do that.
Bill Belichick is playing Wizards chess, yeah. And everyone else is playing Connect Four.
It's amazing.
It's just
yeah.
the way it goes. So Cam Newton obviously has been hurt the last couple of years and hasn't been the same since the middle of the 2018 season. So the question then becomes, what exactly are they getting? Well, here's Dan Orlovsky basically saying, if he's healthy, what Cam Newton does to the New England Patriots.
If Cam Newton's healthy, this offense is going to be built upon a dominant run game, two really good running backs, young tight ends, and so you've got a top two or three defense in the NFL. We all know that Bill Belichick's an incredible play caller, and if Cam Newton's healthy, and he looks like the 2018 version of Cam Newton before he had his shoulder injury, this totally rewrites and changes the storyline for the AFC in the playoffs this season, because this now puts New England right back in the mix to be the AFC East winner division-wise, and certainly one of the two, three, four best teams in the AFC in totality.
Now, listen, I think what Dan is saying there is correct, but it's still in the AFC, in my opinion. It's the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and then everybody else behind them.
Oh, yeah, and I'd probably put even Baltimore next. And, this helps New England.
No
question.
You know,
we were basically saying Buffalo had their chance to grab this division. I think New England's a favorite.
Absolutely.
You know, in that division now with Cam Newton starting. And he talked about when he was playing well in 2018. You look at Cam, and he came in with the completion percentage wasn't great.
Yeah, his career completion percentage is still under 60%.
He was only 60 or more twice his rookie year. His first year, he was right at 60%, and then the third year is at 61. All the other years, 57, 58, 59, 52, 59. And then 2018, Norv Turner.
Correct.
Got a hold of him, and then he was hurt toward the end of the year as well, though. But he played 14 games that year, and he completed almost 68% of his passes. So, and then the next year when he had just the two starts and got hurt, he was back to 56%. So in all honesty, the 68% is the one that stands out in the way of, okay, this is not the norm. That's the exception. The rule had been high 50%. So that with Josh McDaniel, I'm really looking to see what he's going to do. He certainly will bring back the movement game for the quarterback, for the Patriots, because it hasn't been good. Get this. Since 2001, Patriot quarterbacks has rushed for 1,408 yards total since 2001. Cam Newton has rushed for just under 5,000 yards in his career, almost 1,600 yards in the last four seasons alone. Now, will it be as much as it was his first few years in the league? Probably not. You don't want to do that to him, because he also takes a lot of hits that don't get called, and people get away with just hitting the guy a lot because he's so big. So you want to be
maybe
careful.
Maybe that's why he went to New England, because he's going to get calls now.
Maybe. Maybe. So, you know, he's certainly still running. That is a big threat that he has, but how will the completion percentage be in that offense? That is one of the key things I'm going to be looking at.
Mike, one of the first things I went and looked back when they signed Cam Newton was I went back to that Thursday night game in 2016 when Tom Brady was suspended for the first four games for the deflation sensation. Jimmy Garoppolo started the first two, got hurt in the win at home over Miami, and then they had a short week, a Thursday night game, and Jacoby Brissett had to come in and start. He's now backing up Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis. Went back and looked at that box score. In that game, Jacoby Brissett threw it 19 times, had 11 completions for 108 yards, but he ran it eight times for 48 yards and a touchdown. And I'm telling you, that's going to be the template for how this New England Patriots offense is going to run. Because what Bill Belichick does better than almost any coach in the NFL, he doesn't have a system. His system is, what do my players do best, and how can I morph that into this week's game plan? And no one is better at changing that game plan week to week based on what players you have and who you're playing than Bill Belichick. Eight quarterback designed runs, that sounds about right. for the entire upcoming 2020 season, should we have a 2020 season with Jacoby Brissett now up, with Cam Newton expected to be the presumptive starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. By the way, one other little nugget about this. The Patriots now, our great researcher Duraeus brought this to my attention, per the Elias Sports Bureau. The Patriots are now the first team ever to lose an MVP and gain a league MVP in the same offseason.
Wow. How about that? Of course it's going on.
Exactly. Coming up next, by the way, this is the best way ever, our producer Evan, why Newton's predecessor in New England, otherwise known as potentially the greatest quarterback of all time, Tom Brady, is in the news for completely different reasons. Oh, Evan, you Jets fan, you.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Golic and Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Reese, Patriots reporter, will join us in just a few moments. Clearly, he had an interesting Sunday.
I would say he did. And before we get to the union having a problem with what some of the players are doing,
right?
I gave you this little tease before or at the end of the last segment. There are two quarterbacks who have started multiple games against Bill Belichick's Patriots and have never lost.
Yep.
And I gave you the one, Cam Newton. Cam Newton is 2-0 in his career against the Patriots. And you were kind of starting to walk when I mentioned that, and you kind of stopped and like, wait, who is the other? Jake the Snake. Jake Plummer. 3-0 against Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
Like, you could have gone down the list of quarterbacks.
Yep.
And I would have, that would have been like guess 47F.
Did not see that one coming at all.
Did not see that happening. So again, a huge move, Cam Newton signing with the New England Patriots. But it's also time for some straight talk now, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So I have to give Tom Brady all the credit in the world because he has adopted to his new home city and his new home state perfectly. Nobody seems to care about COVID regulations in the entire state of Florida, and Tom Brady is all on board. Tom Brady and company continue to hold these private workouts with teammates as they try and get ready and understand what everybody is doing. And he's not the only one. Russell Wilson's one of the quarterbacks out there getting it done. But obviously, this has caused a lot of eyeballs to be looking at this. And Demoris Smith, basically, the executive director of the NFLPA, basically said, this is not good for our players. It's not good for us in terms of player safety. It's not good for us in terms of if we have to talk with the owners about things. And it's also not good for us in just understanding that if you guys are doing this now, it may be a detriment to us playing an entire season, an entire full season, which, again, in just about a month, training camps are set to open up. So with all of that, Jeff Darlington, our intrepid Florida man, an ESPN NFL reporter, was on SportsCenter yesterday trying to interpret what Demoris Smith's comments about Brady actually mean.
To Demoris Smith's point, the executive director of the NFLPA, one other added note that he made in his comments was that essentially this is not just about protecting yourself now. It's also about the negotiations that will occur between the NFLPA and the NFL when it comes to gaining protections for players about coronavirus once the season actually starts. Smith knows that if he's going to negotiate with ownership and try to point to the fact that these players are going out there and risking their lives during the season, and owners point toward these workouts and saying they're just fine with it, look what they did this summer, it makes it more difficult on the union. So there is a business side of this as well that's important. And what basically Smith is saying, that as a union, it's stronger if everybody kind of cohesively stays together and follows some rules now, as opposed to making it more difficult in the future.
Listen, he's 1,000% right on Demoris Smith is on his job and what he needs to do. Again, the job of a union is the majority. And for the majority, and when they have to go there, and not just for COVID, not just for when the season starts, but when they fought for things in the past, we want shorter off season, we want less pads, all about player safety. The league can keep saying player safety. You had guys out there in the middle of a pandemic that just wanted to practice. you know, and just kind of disregarded everything and went out and practiced. So you talking about that, how much do the players really care? So I see completely where D'Amore Smith is coming from. And then on the other side, as a former player, I see where the players are coming from. Listen, we haven't been together. We can't be together. We need to try and get to know each other as best we can. We need to work together. That's the only way we're going to get better together. And so we're going to try and do it a little bit on the side. I understand that part of it as well. And you have over 2,000 players involved in this, all at different points. A Tom Brady and a Russell Wilson can be like, I'm doing my thing. You know, now Josh Allen's doing it in Buffalo and everyone's saying, what a great leader. You know, he is out there, you know, doing this and right. stuff for Tom Brady and then throwing out the quote, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. That's kind of like, you know, I'm out here. I don't care what any, you know.
Okay. Okay, dude.
That may be a little far and just say, you know what? Hey, we're out here working on it. I heard Adam Schefter talking about it. There are ways you can do things. We're working out good, safe workout today, you know, trying to follow as many guidelines as we can while trying to get to know my teammates and such, instead of the only thing you have to fear is fear itself. Damn the torpedoes.
Full
you know,
speed here. Ahead. So, into the iceberg.
So I think the presentation, but, from Brady's standpoint, Brady doesn't care.
No.
Brady knows he has limited time playing. He wants to win more Super Bowls, and he is like a lot of players. I'm not going to say he's the best at it. A lot of players prepare. A lot of players work out with their other teammates in the offseason, but this is part of what he does. He is meticulous in his preparation, and it got interrupted, and now they have the chance to go out and do it, so he's going to do it. So while I understand completely what D'Amore Smith is saying, I guarantee you in a lot of places as players keep working out, it's going to fall on deaf ears and say, yeah, I get what you're saying. But you know what I'm worried about? The 2020 season and trying to be in the best team out there. If I'm Josh Allen, I'm worried about us finally winning that division and getting Buffalo, you know, back being strong in the playoffs. If I'm Russell Wilson, I'm like, I need to get this team. We need to beat San Francisco and get back to the Super Bowl. And if I'm obviously Tom Brady, I need to get where I've been a hell of a lot of times back in the Super Bowl. So that's going to be the mentality of the player.
And here's the thing, right? And this is the problem for D'Amore Smith with the NFL Players Union. You live through it. With some work stoppages in the 80s when you guys went on strike, the size of the roster on the NFL is so much larger than any other sport. And the wealth gap on an NFL roster is so significant, it's hard to get people who are making Tom Brady money to think the same way that some guy who's the gunner on the practice squad or the gunner on special teams who's making a lot less money to think about things the same way.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And then think about guys asked to come out to these workouts. You're saying no?
Yeah.
I mean, you're telling Russell Wilson, no, I don't think so. You're telling Tom, no.
Because you know how much power they have.
And listen, a lot of these guys coming out are stars. You know, if you have the 1,000-yard receivers and Godwin and Evans coming out there, and where you have top players, but they want to get the work in too. They want to have great seasons as well. So it's not just Tom Brady being meticulous and wanting to prepare. It's those other players as well wanting to get to know their quarterback, how he throws, how you run routes, how they can all work together so the machine can click earlier for them maybe than some other teams, or they feel they're behind because they don't have that chemistry, so they're trying to get it. So we keep mentioning the quarterback's names because they're the ones that usually lead right. these things. But these players are the stars, the top ones, they're willing to go. And if you're not, if you're a mid-level guy and you're asked to go there, you're damn well going to go.
Yeah.
you're going to go.
Or you won't get a pass.
Yes.
I mean, that's the way it goes. Cause
you're just going to be behind everybody else in working on that chemistry.
You know what? Everybody knows who the power dynamic on their squad and who they need to listen to and who they don't need to listen to. And normally it's the quarterback. And when it's Tom Brady, no matter what somebody else is telling you, you're going if he says go. And all of that is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Coming up, we know Cam Newton likes to do the open up his jersey and pull the Superman on his chest thing. Does his superpower include keeping the Patriots right on par with the Ravens and the Chiefs in the AFC postseason?
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
That's CTSY from WEEI Radio in Boston, as the sports world is ablaze with the news.
CTSY. Otherwise known as courtesy.
Courtesy. Yeah. You just put your own spin on it, man.
I did.
You made your mark.
Been in this business a long time, just trying to do things a little bit different every now and then.
It's the only way to do it.
I think it's worked well. Sometimes
you got to shake it up, man, and see what happens.
Yes.
You know, so I imagine our next guest, as Golic and Wingo is with you, presented by Progressive Insurance, and phone guests join us on the show, Pennzoil Performance Line, was having a nice, quiet Sunday, going through things and thinking about the work week, and then bam, a double Sunday news dump involving the New England Patriots. One with penalties because of the filming situation last December in Cincinnati, looking at Cleveland as the next game and the sideline shots there.
Cincinnati, I think.
Yeah, it was in Cleveland. Yeah, it was in Cincinnati. Yeah, in Cincinnati. They were getting ready to play Cleveland.
Right.
And then, of course, by the way, the Patriots have signed Cam Newton. That changed his work week and his work day, but because he's always one of the best we have and ready for anything, didn't faze him at all. Delighted to be joined now by our Patriots ESPN NFL Nation reporter, Mike Reese. Mike, how quickly did your day change on Sunday?
Trey, Mike, great to talk with you. It is uncanny. As a Patriots reporter, I would say whenever you're ready to go on vacation, prepare for the biggest news to drop. And this goes way back. I mean, to times with Aaron Hernandez and other things. This was supposed to be day two of vacation, but we're going to call the audible and reroute some plans.
So, you know, Cam Newton's name had come up with a number of teams when free agency was going on, and New England was one of them once Tom Brady was going to be gone. But nothing obviously ever happened with anybody until yesterday. Why so long before New England pulled the move here?
Well, Mike, I think there's two parts to it. You know, I don't believe the Patriots' position ever changed. You go back to May, and Bill Belichick is on record as saying, you never know what might happen down the road, but we feel like we have good players to work with at quarterback. They also had a very tight economic picture. They're the tightest team to the salary cap. They couldn't offer much, you know, in that situation. So then you go to the other side of it and say, well, maybe something changed with Cam Newton, and his asking price, perhaps, is different now than it was a few months ago, and he's more willing to accept this type of opportunity, this type of contract.
Mike Reese with us, our Patriots reporter. And, Mike, this is the ultimate Patriot Bill Belichick move, right? There is very little risk and potentially very high reward in offering a former NFL MVP a one-year incentive-laden contract. Clearly, we all believe that he is going to be the presumptive starter week one should the regular season begin on time for the Patriots. But it doesn't mean that they're giving up on Jared Stidham, right?
Well, I think that's well said, Trey, because, you know, this is his second year, and we've talked about this for the last couple months. They like him a lot. I mean, he was leading these player workouts along with Brian Hoyer over the last couple months, and they think he has a bright future, but they also acknowledge, like, until he goes out and does it, there's a blind spot there. So this buys them a little more time to assess exactly what they have. And, heck, they haven't ruled out the idea that he rises up in this competition and is still their guy.
No matter who starts this year, it will be the fourth starting week one quarterback under Bill Belichick. He's had Bledsoe, Brady, and Garoppolo, and now it's going to be Cam Newton. I mean, this is something we haven't had to deal with, was any kind of a quarterback issue at New England for so long. Do you envision, and we know what we'll hear from Bill, best player plays, do you envision an open competition, or do you envision number one just getting handed the job?
Open competition, Mike, and I think I truly believe that. And well, I would say, if you were, say, give me some odds, I think it's fair to say I'd probably put Cam now at the top of the list just based on what he's already proven to be in the league. But here is the blind spot with him, in my view. He has no background in this offensive system with Josh McDaniels, the coordinator, or this culture, you know, in New England. And I've seen situations where players have come in over the last two decades and it's worked out great. Randy Moss, Darrell Revis come to mind as players you might look at and say, how's it going to fit, you know, up here in New England the way they do things? because it seems a lot different from the places they've been. But there have been other situations where those have not worked out. And in this case, there's very, as Trey mentioned, limited risk and downside for the Patriots to at least see what that looks like.
As Mike Reese is with us talking about the big news in the Patriots. And I just have to ask, it is, I mean, maybe it's coincidence, but it is somewhat interesting that the Patriots have this story come out that they're signing Cam Newton on the same day that the NFL drops the fines on them of $1.1 million and the loss of a third-round draft pick for the filming incident last December involving the game with the people from the TV production side of the Patriots filming that situation on the sidelines in that game between the Browns and the Bengals, right? It seems a little – the timing seems curious, if nothing else.
Well, I can understand the skepticism there. My thought on that, Trey, is I think that's as much dictated by a couple things falling into place. I mean, the NFL had to make a ruling. I mean, here we are. The calendar's almost going to flip to July. This happened back in December. I know there have been a lot of things going on, but this was a long time coming. I mean, I think many people thought the news on the videotaping would come even before the draft. You know, I don't think anyone thought we'd be sitting here talking about it, you know, in late June. So to me, part of that is how long it took for the league to come to that decision.
So the headline of that punishment is the $1.1 million fine and the loss of the third-round draft pick next year. Around the NFL, will this be considered a harsh penalty for what they did?
I think it'll depend who you talk to, Mike. I actually view it as incredibly harsh and actually precedent-setting, because what stood out to me is, like, Bill Belichick isn't really part of this punishment. This was the Patriots television production crew, which is not part of football operations. And so now you have a situation where the league is actually taking away a third-round pick, pretty significant football asset, for the actions of someone outside the football operation, which to me, I'm not sure that's ever happened before. I'd have to look deeper into that. But I think in that sense, it's an extremely harsh penalty.
Of course, in classic Patriot chess, though, should Cam Newton leave in the offseason
as a free agent,
they'll get that third-round pick back.
Compensatory
pick, I mean, it's just it's an amazing thing, Mike. As I said, Bill's always playing wizard's chess, and everyone else is trying to, you know, play chutes and ladders going forward. As Golic and Wingo is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So, Mike, the first thing I thought of as I began to process the idea of Cam Newton with the Patriots, the first game I went back and looked at was immediately that Thursday night game, week 3 of the regular season, 2016, when Tom Brady was suspended. Jimmy Garoppolo started the first 2 weeks, and in that second week, a home game against Miami, got injured. Short week, Jacoby Brissett had to start, and you watch that game against the Texans, which the Patriots won 27-0. It was a completely different offense. Bill Belichick is better than anybody, and his coaching staff is better than anybody, about morphing that game plan week to week based on the players they have available and the team they're playing. And in looking at that box score, you had 19 pass attempts for Jacoby Brissett, but more importantly, 8 designed runs for 48 yards, including a touchdown. Is that a primer, for lack of a better term, on how the Patriots might try and use Cam Newton going forward?
It is a great example to bring up, in my opinion, Trey, because they were really proud as a staff of that game. I think he had a 27-yard touchdown run, you know, of those rushing yards you mentioned. And the thought was, hey, look, we're not going to call that play if Tom Brady is under center. So what that game showed you is how flexible the Patriots are with their offense and really how much sort of breadth they have in their system to evolve based on the strengths and talents of their player, of their players. And you're going to have different strengths with quarterbacks. And so now what I envision they'll do is bring Cam in and say, okay, we never really work with him on a day-to-day basis. Let's see what he does well, what maybe, you know, we need to protect him for, and we have the ability to adjust and accentuate his strengths.
Yeah, listen, you're going to see an offense that's going to be run-based, which is something they've sort of transitioned to the last couple of years anyway, with the way things have gone, especially having lost the receivers last year that they had in Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown. But I'm just curious about this part of it, Mike, as we're talking to Patriots reporter Mike Reese with us this morning, because people are – I've heard some people say, okay, you know, you're going to have a good offense with Cam now going forward, and that defense is going to be good. I'm like, well, hold on a minute now. That defense was great up until they played the Ravens. I think it was week 8 or week 9 of the regular season. And then they played a really good offense, and they got torched a little bit there. And they had more defensive struggles down the stretch of the season. And, Mike, they lost a ton of players on that defensive side in the offseason. So while I understand people saying the offense is going to be good with Cam, I don't think we can just assume that the defense, which was such a big part of their success in the regular season, especially early, is going to be as dominant as it was a year ago, because they lost a lot of parts there.
They sure did. Kyle Van Noy, Jamie Collins, among them at the linebacker spot. And they always say it, and it's really the truth. We see it on a year-to-year basis. You start from ground, the starting point, zero, every year, and they'll have to prove it again. I think one thing they feel good about, though, Trey, is their secondary is back with Stephon Gilmore, reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year, and that just gives them a little bit of a head start with the communication that you need on the back end of the defense to build from a higher point than you would be otherwise. In a passing league, they feel like they have a lot of guys that can cover.
Yeah, they will. I'm sorry your off-season vacation got delayed a little bit, but I'm sure they'll find a way to make it. No, they won't. But we appreciate your dedication to the job, Mike, as always. It's going to make it a very interesting season. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks, Trey. Thanks, Mike. Have a great day.
Thanks, Mike. So as we look at Cam, a different kind of quarterback than they've had. Remember before Brady, it was Bledsoe. Yep. You had Garoppolo for a short time there who could move around a little bit. But Bledsoe wasn't running anywhere, and Brady wasn't running anywhere. So you look at Newton's injuries. He fractures back in 2014, remember, in that car accident.
Correct.
Missed one game in 2016 with a concussion. Missed the final two games in 2018 with that shoulder surgery, and missed the 14 games last year with the foot injury. Now, the one thing the Patriots' offensive line, they have protected well. New England allowed a pressure percentage of just 23% last season. That's third best in the NFL. They allowed 28 sacks, which was tied for fifth fewest in the NFL. In the 8 seasons of starting at least 14 games, I'm throwing out last year for Cam, Cam's average being sacked 35 times. So this is going to be different for that offensive line for New England. They're used to that standard old-time cup protection,
right?
Five-step, seven-step. And you know exactly where the quarterback's going to be. And sometimes it's less sacks because of the fact that you have a quarterback that would just dump the ball, would throw the ball away. Plus you're already blocked because you knew where your quarterback was. Cam Newton's going to be a little bit different.
Right.
Cam's going to hang on to the ball a little more. Cam's going to try and find some open space to make a throw downfield. So it's not like the O-line will block any differently, but it will be different for them.
Yep.
All of a sudden, the guy they're blocking is going to leave them and break right or left because Cam Newton is breaking. They're not used to that. They're used to knowing Tom Brady ain't breaking right or left. But yes. Tom Brady's either throwing it away, hitting the dirt, and live to fight another play.
Wet sack
of
cement, yeah.
It's going to be different for this offensive line a little bit, and you may see more sacks because Cam's going to try and hold on to the ball to try and make some plays down the field.
I think we all agree this move puts the Patriots as the favorite to win the division again.
I would say that.
So
yes.
Does it not even put more pressure on one player in particular in this division, and that's Josh Allen, the quarterback of the Bills?
Well, I think the pressure was there when Cam wasn't already in New England.
No question.
Because they were giving them, they were saying, Bills, this is your division to take. Now I think it's all of a sudden like, okay, it's still closer to even than if Tom Brady was there, but New England now may have a little bit of the upper hand again.
By the way, we'll have much more on this in just about 45 minutes is Mike Tannenbaum, our fine ESPN NFL front office insider and the author of Napkins of Integrity.
There you go.
Spent a lot of years trying to figure out how to beat Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I'd love to get his thoughts on what this means for that division going forward. Plus, we have some very interesting things to talk about as the NBA gets set to begin that bubble in Orlando. We'll get to all of that after What's Trending.
All right, after increased pressure from multiple key figures in the state, including college athletes and coaches, Mississippi's House and Senate voted in succession Sunday afternoon to retire the flag the support was incredible there. Republican Governor Tate Reeves has said he will sign the bill and the state flag would lose its official status as soon as he signs the measure. Once Reeves signs a bill a commission would design a new flag that cannot include the Confederate symbol and must have the words "In God We Trust." Neither Ole Miss nor Mississippi State have flown that flag on their campus since 2016. Sports figures that have helped lead the charge in removing the symbol include SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin, and Mississippi State running back Kylan Hill, who said he would not play for the Bulldogs this season if the emblem wasn't removed from the flag. In NASCAR, well, kind of two guys over the weekend, back-to-back races, Saturday and Sunday at Pocono, and it was basically Denny Hamlin who won Sunday with Harvick finishing Kevin Harvick finishing second, and on Saturday it was Kevin Harvick finishing first and Hamlin finishing second. So each driver are really kind of taking over right now to make the title push. Hamlin has four wins this season, and Harvick has three. As they're separating themselves from the rest of the field, Hamlin now has six career wins at Pocono, tying Jeff Gordon for most all time at the Tricky Triangle. And Dustin Johnson won for the first time in over a year, taking home the Travelers and $1.3 million, survived a couple of late miscues, including a drive out of bounds and getting up and down from a hazard for par, which he had to take his shoes and socks off, roll up his pants, and stand in the water. He finished at 20 under par. Seriously, are they playing on a putt-putt course there?
Yeah.
20 under par? My gosh. Good enough. I might actually shoot well there. Well, maybe not.
You're doing great, by the way.
Good enough for a one-shot win over Kevin Streelman, extending his season winning streak to 13. Johnson's streak of consecutive seasons with a victory now is at 13. That's the sixth longest streak in PGA Tour history and the longest active streak by far. He joins an incredible group. You're going to have basically the names here that have won at least 13 straight seasons. Jack and Arnie are both tied at 17 straight seasons. Billy Casper at 16, Tiger Woods 14, Lee Trevino 14. So pretty impressive there where Dustin Johnson is going, even though you thought he was going to give it away
at some
point. He did. What's Trending is brought to you by Redbox. Redbox has top entertainment. We need it most. 12 strangers wake up in the middle of nowhere for one very specific purpose, The Hunt, starring Betty Gilpin and Hilary Swank. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
Just continuing the conversation that golf is hard, our friend Mackenzie Hughes.
Yes.
First round, 10 under par. Next three rounds, 7 under par.
Bit of a struggle.
It is just when you think you got the game says, yeah, I'm going to kick you out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it goes. Golic and Wingo with you on a Monday morning where so much conversation is about what happened in the NFL and the Patriots signing Cam Newton to that one-year incentive-laden contract. And that's as we get set for the start of training camps for the NFL, literally a month from today, is what we're looking at when training camps will be underway. But, Mike, we're close to a few days away from beginning the resumption of the NBA season with sort of a training camp part two for the NBA and, of course, heading to that bubble situation in Orlando. This, while COVID cases are spiking in certain states like Arizona, Texas, and Florida, where we're talking about 9,000 new cases a day over the last few days. Now, when this whole bubble scenario took place and was put in place as the plans for where the NBA would resume their season at Disney World and the hotels and the facilities that they have there, the coronavirus cases were very low in those states. But now it is the exact opposite. And Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner on an NBA and an NBAPA conference call, says, yeah, we are concerned about what we're seeing out of the state of Florida.
The level of concern has increased, not just because of the increased levels in Florida, but throughout the country. At least today, I believe 29 of the 50 states have an increased number of cases. Of course, we designed our campus, in essence, to isolate ourselves from whatever the level of cases was in the surrounding community. But since we placed our original, since we designed our initial protocol, we are continuing to work with Disney on the testing of at least a subset of their employees.
That was Adam Silver, interrupted by Chip, my son Jake, and my daughter-in-law Jenny's dog.
Good-looking dog.
The Chocolate Lab is hanging out here this weekend, and he looked at us, and he was startled. Unlike Hank and Harry, who are TV-ready, Chip was a little startled at what was going on.
We're all on a different path.
You look at what's going on down at Florida. Remember, it's not just the NBA. It's MLS as well. The MLS confirmed 26 more coronavirus cases ahead of their comeback. So overall right now, I think for the MLS, they've had 668 players tested. They're at a positive test rate of 2.7%, which is actually pretty low. The NBA, in testing their players, again, before they even go down to Florida, are at a 5.3% positive test rate. So MLS is lower than the NBA right now, but they are, I mean, flying down into it. And yeah. I know, again, well, I'll always continue to say this. I know from the country you look at hospitalizations and deaths. You hope we never get to that in the sports part of it. But just these positive tests could stop what we're all trying to start with these seasons going on if enough players get it and it spreads to more individuals on each team. So we just, you know, in Texas, you have Texas Ranger employees who
fearing
are just
for their safety.
So fearful, and not just the players, but other employees of just what's going on in these states, Florida, Texas, Arizona, and what people are going into in these situations to be protected. So for the MLS and NBA trying to get all of those tests going now, you have the positive tests and hopefully the players work through it. We've already heard a couple of NBA players say, I'll be fine by the time our team has to go down to Orlando and then get in that bubble and just see how well protected you are in the bubble, even though there will be people coming in from outside the bubble as workers there working with the players in both soccer and the NBA.
And we had the news over the weekend from Woj that of the 302 players that were tested for the NBA, 16 came back with a positive test. That's about a 5%
right.
A ratio. So that actually is, I was surprised it wasn't higher.
It was low.
I was really surprised.
Theirs was kind of low, and MLS was even, you know, half of that. So they're low going in. Now they're going there, and let's see what happens when they get there.
And again, they're on their way there. We're going to start the training camps at the end of this month going forward. Coming up, Cam Newton could break a random trend in the Patriots organization, and we'll get to that as we continue to discuss the news that the former Panther is now the presumptive starter for the New England Patriots with the signing over the weekend. Stay with us.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claims service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I had extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.